Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen. It was dark and stormy. The waves were against them, high crashing on the boat. They were all afraid. They were experienced men, used to this, but this was something like they've ever seen. They were so afraid they were going to drown. They were trying to batten down the hatches, grab the mast, do everything they could, and yet their master was sleeping there on the ground in a boat, tossed around by the waves. Now you might be wondering why I'm starting out the sermon on the fifth day of the fifth Sunday of Pentecost like this. This is how Mark ends his first section of his gospel. Mark is a very interesting gospel. He actually has it all sorted out in almost a three-act structure, much like you would have in a modern-day movie. That is how he ends his first act. And right before that is actually our gospel lesson for today. If we go back only a couple of hours before this event, we have Jesus. He is now standing there with a crowd surrounding him with his disciples. And the crowd wants stories, teachings about what heaven is like, about the kingdom of heaven that the Messiah is supposed to bring. Throughout of Mark's gospel, right until the end of chapter 4, it has all been about one thing, the kingdom of God. It is for this reason that Jesus kind of came down to earth and established his ministry. Right in the beginning, in the very first chapter, Mark has it all set out. This is what Jesus was going to do. For Jesus says, the time is now at hand, and the kingdom of heaven is here. Repent and believe in the gospel. And so Jesus then goes out and begins his ministry. And he ends now the first part with these parables. These parables are often usually grouped together. They are grouped together with a very familiar parable to us, the sower of the seed. You know, where he spreads the seed on the good ground, the rocky ground, the road. And then we have these smaller, but just as important parables. For what can we say the kingdom of heaven is like? It is like seed that is planted. And it grows, and the person who sows it, they don't know how it came up. And yet, he knows when it is to harvest, and in time to put it to the sickle. We know that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It is so small, but it grows, and becomes the largest of the garden plants, so that even birds may build nests and find shelter. This is all well and good. We hear these stories on Sundays, and we know that even Jesus explained them to his disciples. He explained to them what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it's a beautiful thing. Throughout the beginning of Mark's gospel, we actually get to see what this kingdom is like. Jesus goes out in the beginning of his ministry, and he heals people who are sick. He makes the lame walk. He makes those who have been oppressed by demons. He flees them from them. He even goes and he says that everybody who believes in me, who believes in this command, who believes that the gospel, he believes the gospel, will be my family. Throughout the beginning of Mark, we get to see what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is indeed so small. It begins with just one man coming out from the desert after being tormented and tempted by Satan. It began with then just a couple of followers who followed Jesus and believed his words. It began with him teaching in a temple to people that he knew and for those that he didn't. It began small and it grew. We can even look farther ahead, jump a little to the near end of the story. And we see where this small seed of the kingdom planted grew into the church that we know today. All of Paul's epistles are about nurturing and caring for this kingdom on earth. For the church is indeed that small mustard seed, a small glimpse of what heaven is like on earth. But you see, there's a problem with all of this. When Jesus was describing the kingdom of heaven, it was almost too good to be true. When we got to see what it was like, the dead being raised, the lame being able to walk, it almost seems impossible. Even for the people who were at the church at that time, during Paul's letters, they were confused. For they heard and remembered these messages of Christ. They only happened maybe a couple of decades ago. They were waiting for him to come back. They were waiting with great anticipation this kingdom to come here on earth. And they were worried because it wasn't. Paul even had to go out of his way to write to the churches because their members were dying without seeing this kingdom on earth come to be. And that is where we find ourselves here now 2,000 years later. We're on the other side of the story of Mark. We know that Jesus will come again. We know that his church is his kingdom here on earth. We even know that the earth himself is his kingdom, for our God is Lord of all creation. But when we look at even our small church, when we look at the greater church at large, is it really like that tiny mustard seed planted? That it grew to be the largest of all the garden plants? Are we so united as that? We have many different churches and many different denominations. Why are we so scattered? If this really is God's kingdom here on earth, then why hasn't he done some stuff about it? There are so many problems going on in his kingdom, his world right now. Poverty, sickness, natural disasters, death of his beloved, beloved sons and daughters of Christ. Persecution across the world. How can this be? How could we get from the kingdom of heaven would be open to all? The kingdom of heaven that would shade all. And we look out into this world and we see, even in our own church, people treating each other with contempt. People holding on for grudges far too long. People who are hurting and suffering all kinds of sicknesses. It becomes hard to bear. And that's where we have then, in the beginning of our story, of the sermon. The disciples, remember, this happened only a couple of hours after Jesus described the kingdom of heaven. And that indeed, it will happen. But they were afraid. The storm was coming around them. They were being crashing down on their boats, and they were so afraid. They go to their Lord who is sleeping, and they say, "Master, please rise up. Don't you even care that we're dying, that we're perishing?" And Jesus, he gets up. I like to think that he's stretching, getting the kinks out of his neck. It's not fun to sleep on the bottom of a boat. I've actually done it. It's very hard. He gets up. He looks at the wind. Looks at the waves. And all he just says one word. Peace. And immediately, a very fun word that Mark likes to use, everything is calm. The disciples are marveling at this. Jesus turns to them and he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why haven't you believed?" The disciples then turn to one another and saying, "Who is this guy that even the wind and the sea obey him?" God's kingdom will one day come to be on earth. It will be made all things new. And God even understands this turmoil that we have. Because we know that it will come, but we're waiting for it to come. And the disciples, like them, they didn't understand it. But there was one who in the kingdom, his center was Christ. He came and established his kingdom. And he did amazing things. He promised to those that believe in him that they will have eternal life. He gave this promise to his people, and he continued with this promise of comfort, of assurance, that even though these things are happening right now, I will be with you. We heard that in our epistle lesson today. The Corinthians that Paul was writing to, they were scared. They were having this turmoil. They knew that their good thing was going to come. They knew that the kingdom of heaven would be established here on earth one day, that all things would be made new, but they're stuck here waiting for it. And Paul says, "Peace. We know that you wish to go to your heavenly dwelling, for the kingdom to come and be here on earth, that all things will be made right. We know that you are burdened with so many things. But we have the promises of Christ, the one who has promised to each and every one of you of his heavenly dwelling, of his kingdom coming in and being made new. For the kingdom of heaven is like that mustard seed. God brought low a very powerful people in Israel, but he brought up Christ, who was put up on a tree, whose shade we still are under. And it gives comfort. For the cross, all nations have come together that they may find hope and rest in him. And it is hard. We might want the kingdom to come now because we see all the turmoil around us. And it's not going to get any easier. Maybe things will get worse. But we have Christ, who has promised us that he is going to come again. In the beginning of Mark, he said what this kingdom will be like. The dead will rise again. Those who are sick will be healed. Those who are mourning will be comforted. We have that promise in Christ. This is how Mark ends his first act, with the promise of a kingdom that will have no end. But there are still two other acts to his gospel. We know what this kingdom will be like, but we need to know of the man who said of these things. The second act of Mark continues right after these parables, with looking about who just is this man, Jesus, who he said who he was. This act will take us all the way to the transfiguration, where we shall see our Lord for who he really is. I encourage you to join us as for the rest of this summer and going on even a little bit later, we explore who establishes this kingdom, who gives us our hope, who gives us our trust. I invite you all to come learn of our Lord Jesus, who establishes his kingdom here for us and will one day come again. Amen.